Welcome to Mike and Steve, a podcast in which Mike Carson and Steve Henry interview everyone who graduated in 1994 from Ohio's Cuyahoga Falls High School, one classmate at a time. Today's guest is Amanda Wazlowski-Champa. This interview was recorded October 12th, 2022.
Well, welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Mike and Steve. Today, I'm really excited to have Amanda Wazlowski-Champa. Welcome to the show, Amanda.
Thanks, Mike. I'm impressed that you could still pronounce Wazlowski. You probably do it a little better than I do.
Really? Wow.
Really? This is interesting because the last episode we had Brian Schwertfeger. We struggled with that one also. So we have two difficult pronunciations back to back here.
So are all of those episodes released and I just haven't caught them?
Oh, Brian's, we recorded it last week. We're gonna publish it like tomorrow, probably.
Oh, very cool. I need to catch up. I have a lot of fun listening to them. So I'm so glad you guys are doing this. It's a really cool project.
Thanks for being on the show. Yeah, I was saying to Amanda before you jumped on that, like, it's like, for me, it's like when we did the John Politico episode, like I've known John, you know, since kindergarten, and I've known Amanda since kindergarten too. Like we went through kindergarten all the way through senior year together. So I've known her a long time.
Damn, dude. Yeah.
But I remember in kindergarten, Amanda was like, she was, all the boys loved her, man. And they would chase her around, myself included. We would all chase her around.
I may have been the only girl who enjoyed running.
I remember all the boys chased you, and all the girls chased Jimmy Zelenko, I think it is.
Oh yeah, we chased Jimmy a lot. I think we all played. Really? We all played chase, right? That was just what you did.
Yeah.
I forgot. No one ever really thought about what would happen if you actually caught the person. I don't know. What would you have done, Mike? You caught Amanda.
You'd
shove each other and go, "You're it."
Yeah. Stand there, shocked. Oh man, yeah. Now what?
How'd I catch you?
So you had Mrs. Burris then, right? You were,
yeah, Mrs. Burris. And you know, I really don't think it's been that long since she retired.
Yeah, I know. I remember. Yeah, my mom worked in the school, and I remember her telling me that. Yeah.
Yeah. But she was awesome. The letter people. Yeah. It was just great.
Yeah, I still remember the theme song for the letter people.
Yeah.
Like it was so exciting when they brought the TV in, you know. And you watch the letter. I looked up on YouTube. They even have some Letter People episodes you can watch.
Oh,
you can
still those watch. Throwbacks are great.
Yeah.
Are you talking about your kindergarten teacher?
Yeah, kindergarten. She was the best, Steve. You would have loved her.
Really? Yeah.
She was.
That's good because I don't remember my kindergarten teacher. So you must have had a good one.
Where did you go? Were you Price or Preston?
I was Schnee.
Schnee. Oh,
before
wow.
Schnee closed, I went there for kindergarten and first grade, and then Schnee closed and I went to Price.
Okay.
At that point. But I can't remember. I feel bad. I can't remember my kindergarten teacher. I remember.
You can't remember her at all? Mm-mm. I guess, yeah, I don't know. It's getting, we're getting pretty far back now, huh?
I remember Mrs. Stanton in first grade. Mrs.
You got to get those elementary yearbooks out. Check them out.
Those are horrifying.
They are. I was just looking through mine and I was like, ooh, bad picture. I had a mullet. I had a mullet in fifth grade.
You're ahead. Probably ahead of your time.
Maybe. Or behind. I don't know.
I never had a mullet.
So yeah, what we'd like to do is like paint a picture of what Amanda Wazlowski was like in school. And Steve brings out the yearbook.
Here we go. So fortunately for you, I don't think you only have your one official picture, I think, is the only one in here. Oh, like really? Sometimes I thought there were like other pictures.
Thank goodness.
Yeah, all we got is a senior year photo.
Yeah, I tried to lay low.
But you did a lot of stuff. So that's why I thought maybe there'd be other. Oh, no, I can't get it.
Check that out. You like the mushroom do?
I can't focus it, though.
Yeah, because you got your blur background on. I can't see.
Oh, it's because of the blurred background. All right. Background. Hold on. Yeah, good call. The mushroom hairdo, is that what that? There it
yeah.
is.
Yeah, that actually, I went to Best Cuts and I told the girl, I said, I want my hair short, like a little bob. And when she made the first snip and it was above my ear, I was like, oh, I guess I'm going shorter. So last time at Best Cuts. But just I think I rocked timing. That for about a year.
Yeah, it's like when I see that picture, I feel like that's how I remember you from high school.
Yeah.
It's not the mullet, at least.
Yeah, at least not the mullet. But the shrine. Just one in a long line of bad hairstyles. Bad haircuts.
Well, this book is full of them. So you're in good company. Okay, here's what you did in high school. oh, by the way, when I look you up in the index, it has you as Mandy.
I know. Oh, really? I don't know who did that, huh. Which is fine. I mean, that's my nickname. So, you know.
Do you call I was that? Like, wait, I don't remember calling you that at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, do people call you? Like, is that what you go by mostly?
My mom and dad always called me Mandy. So my family, my husband calls me Mandy. But, you know, you write your name down and people don't shorten it unless you tell them to. And I just never bother to tell them to. So, you know, most of the time, Amanda.
Okay.
Someone calls me Steven, I immediately like, no. Absolutely not. Don't call me that, please.
I'm not responsible for that. Yeah.
No, I do not want to be Steven. All right. Here's what you did in high school. You did track, 9th, 10th. This says you took a year off, no junior year.
I did. I took a year off.
And then came back.
Why'd you take
it? Well, I handed in my uniform towards the end of sophomore year. And, you know, I got a job and I wasn't really interested in competing and handed in my uniform. And then my junior year, I worked and, you know, did all kinds of stupid stuff. And then my senior year, I went back and it was Coach Fechter. And I said, you know, I want to run, but I just want to have fun. I don't want to compete. And I think he was kind of like, well, that's not very athlete-like of you, which he was right. It's not. But he let me. So I got to run like stupid races, stuff that I'm not good at all. I was running 200s and 400s. And really, I'm a distance girl. So it was kind of funny that he actually allowed me on the team as a senior.
That's so cool.
Do you still run or?
I do. That's actually one of my favorite hobbies. I've run, I don't even know how many marathons now. Wow. I've run a few 50Ks.
Wow.
I stay away from the 5K. That makes me really nervous and I usually end up getting hurt. So yeah, I run 6 days a week usually.
Wow. Geez. So your knees are still holding up and everything?
Yeah. Yeah, knees are great. It's stupid little stuff like hip pain every once in a while or a stress fracture in my foot or, you know, stupid stuff like that.
So
but the knees are good.
Good. Are you doing races and stuff?
No, I haven't raced in about 5 years. The last race I did was a 5K for it was ovarian cancer benefit race. And a friend of mine lost a family member to ovarian cancer. So he said, hey, you know, our family does this race every year and it would be really cool. It fell on the anniversary of her passing. He said, it would be really cool if we could win age groups, you know, get somebody to place in each age group. So I said, okay, I'm going to train for that. I'm going to try to do it. And I was 42 at the time. And, you know, I show up that day and I'm like looking around, you know, you measuring up your competition. And I'm like, I think I got this. I think I can do this, you know? Well, sure enough, there's this girl looked awesome. And I'm like, she can't be as old as me. She's no way she's in my age group. She crushed me by like a minute and a half. And she was in my age group. She was 40. I was 42. So I got second place, but it was fun.
Damn.
So that's the last time I've raced, but I continue to train, hoping that maybe someday I'll do another marathon.
Cool.
Jeez. Yeah.
Yeah. 6 days a week.
These runners.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Mike's done some marathons also.
I've done a few, yeah. A while ago. I still, but my knees are starting to bother me, but.
It's all about the shoes. Got to find the right shoe.
Okay.
Save the knees.
But
my knees are hopeless. Any shoes.
Well, you used to run, didn't you? You ran on the cross country team, didn't you?
Yes, very slowly. Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I did. And then I kept at it for a while. Then I had a bike crash, bicycle. I broke my leg riding my bike.
Oh.
And it I had to have surgery on my knee, and it was never the same after that. I tried to work back into it, but I'd get to a slow jog, and then I'd feel the twinge and then have to stop for a while.
Yeah.
Finally just gave up and decided to, I like the bicycling better anyway. So just do that.
Yeah.
Oh, well. Anyway.
So what else besides?
Okay. So Amanda did track 9:10, tried to escape for 11th and came back. then you were in the Tiger Backers all 4 years.
Yeah.
Tiger Backers. What's that?
That was the group that planned homecoming.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. We used to take, I don't know, you guys went to homecoming, right?
No.
No?
I did.
I did not.
I did.
It was a good time.
I never went to one dance in high school.
You didn't go to any of the dances?
Nothing.
I did all that work and you didn't even appreciate it.
Sorry. No.
We used to buy streamers that we would run across. You know how our gym had the second level? You could go up to the second level of the gym and look down, for the seating. We would take streamers and run them across the handrails to create a false ceiling in the gym. And it would take all day. So you'd have three people running from each side of the gym, somebody up top dropping the streamer, somebody running it across, somebody tying it off, running it across. And it took all day to make that ceiling. It was crazy. We did it all 4 years.
You remember that ceiling, Steve?
I do remember the ceiling.
Thank you,
kind
Steve.
Of wondered how it was done. You're welcome. I appreciated it. I looked and stared and admired it.
Yes. That's what I wanted to hear.
Yeah. And I thought, wow, someone's really dedicated.
Did you get that? Did you get off? Oh, sorry. Go ahead, Steve. Go ahead.
No, go ahead, because I think you go.
Well, I was just going to say, did you get off a day of school? Did you get out of classes to do that? Or did you have to come in on the weekend?
No, we did it that Saturday of the dance.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, it was a good time. It's a good time because there was usually some sort, the football game the night before or whatever. And so we'd go to the football game and then we'd get all of our stuff and get up real early and be in the gym.
So how many people were in Tiger Backers?
There were probably a dozen.
Huh.
Yeah. So we interviewed, we had Jen Grafe on recently. She was in it also.
Yeah,
she was.
And I think she said you roped her into it or something.
Oh, I grabbed anybody I could.
I think she mentioned you specifically because we were how did you get involved in that? And she's I think Amanda Wozlowski roped me in.
Yep. Yeah, I would sucker anybody into that. I needed all the hands I could get.
That's so
how
great.
How did you get involved in that?
Stephanie Dade. Do you remember Stephanie Dade?
I do.
She was in our class, and I'm not sure if she went to one of our middle schools. She may have been from another school system altogether, but I met her freshman year in Mr. Lieberth, I think. I think that was his history class, and he's the one that ran the Tiger Backer group. So she kind of roped me in, and the rest was history.
So it just was about homecoming or other stuff too?
Yeah, just homecoming. I don't remember there being anything else. There could have been, but I don't think there was. I think it was just the homecoming dance.
Did you sell the flowers and stuff though? Also, was that related?
I don't think we did.
There's like, you could like go buy a flower and have it delivered to somebody, stuff like that. Remember that?
Oh, that was usually like, was that National Honor Society maybe, or?
I don't even know. It's a whole mystery.
There's like a whole infrastructure. I know what you're talking about. I know what you're talking about, but I don't remember. Don't remember what group did it.
I don't know.
Yeah, you could pay like a dollar and it would deliver a flower to somebody and it went to their group or something like that.
Yeah, and there's like this whole symbolism, like you had to send the white flower if it was a friendship.
Right.
You could do the red flower if it was romantic. And I don't know what the pink one was for. Their pink was something else.
It had to have been Valentine's Day.
It sounds like Valentine's Day.
Yeah, but I vaguely remember that. I don't think that was Tiger Becker's. It could have been.
Yeah. From now on, we'll have to ask every interview guest, do you know who did the flowers?
Yeah.
Were you involved in the flowers?
Yeah, we got to find that person. They're out there. Yeah.
Somebody knows. Okay, so you did Spanish Club, 9th and 10th?
Spanish Club. I remember going to maybe two meetings, and I'm really not sure what that club was about. Because I don't think we spoke Spanish.
I was gonna guess it was about the Spanish language.
Yeah, you would think we would practice, you know, what we were learning in class or something like that. But I don't even think we did that. I don't even think we like sampled Spanish food.
So
I was part of that club.
Name only. You were in there.
You would like meet after school or something?
Yeah. It was an after school. Do you remember that little amphitheater, the little theater that was in the center? We would meet in there. Hmm. And I really don't recall any content to that meeting. Hmm. I don't even know who ran it. Did you guys take Spanish?
I did.
Okay. I did. Yeah. Senora Oliveira, I think, would have been the one that ran the club.
Yeah.
I took Latin. I guess we had a club, but I didn't join the club. All right. Moving on. National Honor Society.
Wow.
11th and 12th.
Good job.
Mm-hmm. Nice job. And also Rotary Scholar.
Oh.
Yeah. I don't remember that. I mean, I remember it, but I don't really remember what it, you know, it's like, what is this? What's the purpose of this?
Didn't Jen have that too?
Yeah, I was just going to say, I don't remember. I think it was Jen. We were discussing what it was.
Yeah.
Because it sounded really impressive. And I think she was like, it's not really, it wasn't that impressive. It was just sort of, you just did it.
Yeah, I don't remember it being anything special. Hmm. I definitely didn't get any money for it.
No.
Oh, really?
All right. And then, Mike, were you going to say something?
No, I was just going to ask if there's
one more.
What else?
The famous homeroom representative. Thank you for your service.
What years?
10th and 11th.
10th and 11th.
Yeah.
Do you remember being a homeroom rep?
You know, whose interview was it that we were talking, you guys were talking about that? And I was sitting there trying to remember. I remember distinctly meeting for homeroom like twice a year.
Oh, really?
And wondering why we had to do that.
So you do remember being a homeroom rep.
I remember going to homeroom, but was I really a rep? I don't know. I don't recall doing anything as a rep.
Huh.
I know we met in homeroom to vote for homecoming court.
Yeah.
So that was song. One meeting.
Like prom song. I remember voting for that.
All of our senior stuff. We met in homeroom to vote on that. Other than that, I really don't remember because I had to go all the way over to the vocational building for my homeroom. And I swear I walked into the vocational section like four times in high school. That was it.
Yeah.
So.
So that wing gave me a headache.
Homeroom gave you a headache?
Fumes, no, like the vocational wing, they had the auto mechanics. I remember walking by there and getting a headache.
Really?
Every time. Yeah, I had to avoid it. Something in that really triggered like a migraine headache for me.
Really?
Yeah.
Maybe it was like perm solution from Cause.
It may have been that instead. It's hard to know.
So, Amanda, can you give us a brief timeline of events in your life since high school?
Oh, geez. Yeah, I can. All right, so graduated. I went to Kent State for, you know, one semester. That's how long I lasted in college. Hated that. I did. I just did not like college, but I had an awesome job at Kohl's department store. And I had all these great, you know, 18, 19 years old, and I had all these great mentors that were kind of giving me all kinds of information and freedom and teaching me stuff. So I got to open new stores. I just got to do a lot of new stuff. So I was really interested in that. And
you opened like new store, like when you were 19?
I got in with, I had worked at Dots. You remember that store on State Road? And it was next to First Merit in the plaza.
Whoa.
Yeah, this is going to take you way back. We were on the other end from Montgomery Wards. Yeah. And it was a $10 or less store. I worked there. And I had a manager who, she said, hey, there's this new company coming into town. And I really think you're a great employee. I think you should come with me. So I was at Kent, you know, going to classes at Kent at the time. And, you know, I said, hey, why not? You know, what have I got to lose? You know, so I went with her and I spent about 3 months doing like all the hiring before the store opened. So helping run background checks and all that, you know, business. And about, I don't know, 2 months after the store opened, the district manager approached me and said, hey, I'm looking for an assistant and you're organized and you have everything in order. I like what I see. Are you interested? So I said, yeah, sure. So I worked for him for, I don't know, let's see, I was 19. It would have been about 7 years I worked for him. And in that time, he sent me all over the place. So I got to go out towards Philadelphia and open the Lancaster area stores. I got to open like Bainbridge and Highland Heights, Stowe, all those stores that opened like in 2000, 2002. Had a lot of fun doing that. It was really an experience and learned a lot about HR and a lot about shoe sets, ironically. So, you know, every time you go into a store and you see the shoe department's been changed, I did that a lot.
Shoe sets.
Yeah.
Like the display, like setting up the display of shoes.
Yeah. Like how they'll set up athletic shoes and then dress shoes and then kids shoes, you know, all that. We moved those a lot and it was labor intensive. But anyway, I learned a lot there. And when I got pregnant with my son, my oldest son, my boss at the time kind of gave me the option of coming back part-time, which was perfect for, you know, I was home with him. And then in the evenings and on the weekends, I would go in. So I got to keep my foot in the door professionally, and be home with my kids. So, that was really great. And I worked for Kohl's for 17 years. When my youngest was 5, he was going to school all day, and my husband had started his own business a few years before. I said, you know, I think he needs my support. I need to get back into the workforce full time. So I, you know, called a couple friends and said, I'm looking. I just want to let you know I'm looking for something. And I had a friend who said, oh my gosh, you would be great in healthcare. You should come join me. And I was laughing. I was like, I would be terrible in healthcare. That would be terrible for me. And she's like, no, I mean it. You're going to be great at this. So I applied for a position that she, you know, introduced me to someone, and I got it. And for the last 12 years, I've been doing sales and marketing in assisted living.
Oh, really?
Yeah. It's a very strange jump from retail to dealing with families who are placing loved ones in an assisted living community. But somehow it worked out and it was a good fit. And I've learned a lot and I'm still learning a lot. And yeah, just really enjoying it.
Huh. you know, I'm actually looking at assisted living places right now for my father. So
maybe, yeah,
maybe we could talk.
Absolutely.
but wow. Okay.
So yeah, I can help you with some information.
Okay. So how many kids do you have?
I have two boys.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. Ryan and Robbie.
How old are they?
Ryan is going to be 20 and Robbie is 17. Ryan's a sophomore at John Carroll and Robbie is a senior at Woodridge.
Okay.
Yeah.
And where are you based?
I still live in Cuyahoga Falls.
Okay.
I joke that I finally left the zip code in 2004. So I went from 44221 to 44223. Yeah. I really have not been anywhere.
That's two in a row because Brian Shortfigure was the same. Yeah. And actually made the move. He's in Woodbridge School District.
Wait, is he?
Is that right? Woodbridge? Woodbridge.
Yeah,
right?
Probably.
Yeah, Woodbridge. I just got myself confused because there's also a town near where I live called Woodbridge. And I'm like, wait, am I confusing?
Yeah.
Yeah, but his kids are younger.
Okay. You know, yeah. That I think I've seen him somewhere. And it was one of those where I was like, is that who I think it is? And then I was like, no. And, you know, went on with my day.
Yeah, your neighbors.
Yeah, he's probably my next door neighbor. Yeah, right. That's about how social I am. I
know. That's awesome.
Do you still see a lot of people from high school or?
Not as much as I'd like to. I'm still, you know, pretty close with Marlo. Of course, we don't talk nearly as much as we'd like to, you know, we text back and forth, but still close with her, still close with Danielle. She's, you know, she's got a lot going on, just an amazing lady and still close. I see Shannon from time to time. Most of the people though, it's like, you know, Facebook, it's just what I see on Facebook.
Yeah. Well, I forgot to ask, I'm sorry. I forgot to ask you one question when we were going through your high school stuff. What, how did you see yourself in high school or what was high school like for you?
Oh, well, I loved high school. I loved it. I don't know if you guys, well, you guys probably wouldn't have seen me because you were kind of beginning of the alphabet. I lost it at graduation. They started playing the music when we were coming out to sit down and I was hysterical. People were like, are you going to be okay? And I was like, I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to get up and walk across the stage. I can't believe it's over. You know, it was just terrifying for me because I had a lot of fun at high school. How I saw myself, I'm a dork. I felt like a dork in high school.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Huh.
I mean, you were definitely popular with the popular crowd. So you were not.
You think? I didn't think that. I thought that really? I didn't really fit into any one group. I just kind of circled around watching. That's how I felt.
Really? I mean, dork. If you want to talk about dork,
we look at this guy.
Yeah.
It's a different kind. There's all different kinds of books.
Yeah, there's different kinds.
I think that's what we discover by doing these interviews. Like,
yeah,
everyone's kind of dorky in their own way.
Yeah.
And then there's serious hardcore dorks.
But it seems like a lot of times, like you seem like it seems like other people are cool and you're the dork. You're dorky or something.
Yeah, it's hard. Yeah, you compare yourself to people. Everybody's comparing themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's just that time period in life where I sometimes wonder if my kids feel like that, where they just are questioning everything they do and how it fits in. And am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I where I'm supposed to be? All those kind of insecurities, I guess.
Yeah.
But overall, I loved high school. I had a great time. I enjoyed people and just being a part of it. So it was really hard to let go of.
What did you love about it? I guess
that was, I hated being sick because I'd miss out on all the good stuff. You know, did you ever notice that? Like you miss a day of school and you come back, you're like, I missed that. Somebody beat someone up in the hallway and I didn't get to see it. Like, really?
It was a lot more of an exciting day-to-day existence than
right?
the things are now.
Right. Wow, interesting. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm just from like, because my perspective was complete opposite. Like I just really didn't like it. I loved being sick and stuff like that. I'm just curious. Like, I guess you just had you probably had friends and activities you really liked going to and seeing people and talking to. And I mean, I didn't, like the first 3 years, I didn't have any friends. So that's probably a big part of it.
And I think boy girl is a little bit different too. Like, I don't think guys enjoy that quite as much as girls do. Like, we want to be a part of whatever's going on, and guys are kind of like, I don't need that, you know.
Yeah,
it just seemed, at least that's how my perspective at that age was the guys didn't really care. And we were all trying to make friends and trying to get involved, and
that makes sense.
Were there guys in the Tiger Backers?
No.
That seems like mostly girls, right?
As far as I remember, it was all girls. Sometimes we would rope some boyfriends into helping us out with stuff. Right. Yeah.
And
it was not like they attended a meeting.
I wonder how it would have changed my high school experience if I was in Tiger Backers.
Oh, I think you would have had fun.
That would be amazing. Like, if we could go back in time and Mike joins Tiger Backers, that'd be like a total alternate reality. It probably like would alter every bit of history.
Every dance would be so much better.
It would be pretty crazy.
I don't know. So what have been some defining moments in your life since high school, or some struggles that you have overcome?
Oh boy. Well, definitely defining moments, definitely having kids. That changes you. You guys probably, do both of you have kids?
I do.
Yeah. Okay. It changes who you are. So that would be one. My husband started his own business, and that was definitely a lot of learning, you know, a lot of ups and downs. And, you know, we both laid awake at night, plenty of nights wondering how we were going to pay the bills and, you know, how that was going to work and the risk and all that good stuff. So that was definitely shaping. He's the one that got me into running again, because, you know, have a couple kids out of school, you don't do that kind of stuff much. So he was trying to quit smoking and decided that the way he was going to quit smoking was he was going to run a marathon. So he, you know, took it upon himself to research and learn all this stuff about running and got out there and did the training program. And we went for his marathon and cheered him on. And I kind of caught the bug. I was like, wow, that looks awesome. I used to run all the time. I want to run again. So he got me into it. So I ran the Boston Marathon. So that was definitely life-changing for me, you know, just that experience. It's just wonderful, pivotal moment of confidence. And, you know, it was 35. It was a moment in time when you're like, okay, this is where I feel like I've reached who I want to be in life. So that was a defining moment for me. And boy, I hope I have some coming up, because, you know, my kids don't need me much anymore. I don't know. I'm looking forward to what's next.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. I think, the Bairds also did that Boston Marathon too, maybe around the same time, Josh and Zach Baird.
Yeah. I think he was just a little after me. Oh, they're awesome. They're awesome runners.
Yeah.
They're nuts. I think Josh maybe, they both did it together recently, but I think Josh had done it earlier, but I'm not sure how long ago.
Okay.
But I think it was probably more recent than yours.
Yeah. Yeah, they're great runners. So it didn't surprise me at all when I think I saw one on Facebook that he was training and getting ready, and then when he finished. So that's exciting.
So when your husband was doing this business, starting this business, and you would lay awake, did you have young kids at the time? Or
yeah. So he worked for Ryan Holmes. So that would have been 2006. And he was one of the first, before the housing market crashed in 2008, he was one of the first layoffs. So he came home one July Monday and said, I lost my job today. And I had a 3-year-old and a 1-year-old. And I went, well, okay, I have my foot in the door at work. I work part-time. I'm going to slide back in there and work again. So I was able to do that. And he was able to, you know, they gave him a pretty good severance package. So it gave us a little wiggle room. And after a couple of weeks, he said, you know, I think I'm going to go out on my own. And I said, well, that's kind of hard to do when the housing market's, you know, just a bust, right? Yeah, yeah. So he started with small jobs like painting houses. And he had a subcontractor that worked regularly with him at Ryan Homes, who was really kind and generous and threw him work as often as he could just to fill in the gaps. Mm-hmm. And somehow we made it a year, and then we made it another year, and he just kept plugging, and here we are. And you know, it's paying for college tuition. And,
great.
You know, we live a very comfortable life, so we're very grateful.
Cool. So that's been going on like 14 or 15?
Yeah, about 14 years.
Wow.
Well, actually about 16 really. But wow. But the first 3-4 years was just really, you know, you'd be like, okay, where's the next paycheck coming from? How are we going to make the mortgage next month, you know?
Yeah.
And I cut coupons and cut anything I could do to save, I saved. We walked places if I could walk. I mean, it was bare bones. But totally worth it.
Yeah.
And that was before you were doing the medical thing or about that?
Yeah. When I finally went back, because we were really trying to hold on to get my kids in school all day. So that I wouldn't have to put them in daycare. I really wanted to try not to do that. Not that it's not great. It just wasn't what I wanted. So we got to when Robbie was 5 and went to kindergarten, and I went right back to work. So I actually worked a full-time job, and I had kept my job at Kohl's. So I was working the new full-time job, and then I was working at Kohl's about 20 hours a week. So that was really helpful to, you know, try to pick up what we had lost over those leaner years. So.
All right. Brian Schwarzfeger recommended this one question to ask. He said we should ask this to every guest. And I thought when he brought it up, Steve and I and him, we talked about it, and it was kind of interesting. So I don't know. We thought we would try it with you first, if you don't
mind. Right.
But so yeah, who's the most famous person you've met, and what's the story with that?
That's funny. I was trying to think of one person, because I really haven't been to a lot of places. We don't travel a whole lot. I'm not the type of person that's like, oh, look, you know, there's so-and-so. I'm not a big concert person. I figure they put their pants on one leg at a time, just like I do. So I don't get too excited. But I was at the Akron Marathon Expo a few years back, and I was with a group of my friends. We're all running the marathon. We're there to pick up our packets and all that good stuff. We're walking down the street, down Main Street or High Street in Akron, and here comes Meb, our famous American marathoner. And we kind of very boldly approached him. He was probably terrified, because actually, I think I might be bigger than him. Wow. And And we're like, Mab. And, you know, we grab him and we make him take a picture with us. And he's so gracious and so kind. And, you know, a couple of the guys talked to him a little bit. And as he leaves, I looked at everybody. I'm like, I think we're supposed to pay for that. Like, I think he's here for paid photos.
Really?
And we just accosted the man on High Street and made sure we got our photo with him. So he's probably the most famous person I've ever met.
And you owe him money still.
And I owe him money. And there might be a warrant for my arrest. Yeah. I don't know.
That should be the question. Who's the most famous person you owe money to?
Yeah.
Do you have the picture?
I do, somewhere on my phone.
Yeah.
Oh, we should post it to our website with your interview.
Yeah, I'll dig it up and send it to you.
Okay.
Yeah, it's on there somewhere.
Cool. All right. We have this other segment that we've been doing for a while.
This is make the noise with your mouth, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to fail at this, but yeah. Okay, let's try.
Well, we usually fail even making the sound initially without the mouth.
It's been like a complete disaster on our part for the last, well, Steve's part really on the last few times. Okay, so here, I'll make a sound. And Steve, you go first. Steve will try to make the same sound using his mouth only. And then I'll make the sound again. And then Amanda, you can go. And then
all right.
And then I'll go and we'll see who does it best. Okay, Steve, are you ready?
Let's do it.
Okay, here we go. Let me know if you can hear this.
Do it again.
Okay. One more time.
I got to get it in my head here.
Okay.
Oh, you got it too close to the microphone, I think.
Oh, you couldn't hear it?
Yeah, like clipped.
Can you hear it?
Just hold it a little bit away from the microphone. I had it the first time. Okay. Okay. I'll go from memory. It's not coming through.
It's not? Okay.
Now it is.
Can you hear it?
Yeah. Okay.
Not bad.
That's pretty good.
I think if you practice, you could probably get better. I mean, if you practice that, you might be able to get it down. You have
I'll practice it every day. And the next week when we do another, I'll be better.
Okay.
That's very difficult.
Okay, Amanda, here's yours. Hopefully you can hear this. Oh, that's actually very good.
That was quite good.
That blew Steve away. This is tough competition.
Yeah, you got your work cut out for you, Mike.
I know. There's no way I'm going to win this now. Okay, I'll try it.
Bad.
Last place. I think it was Amanda.
It's kind of hard to imitate a bell.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but I was only in choir like 7th and 8th grade. They cut me in high school.
Really?
Didn't make the choir. I think I tried out in 7th and 8th grade. Like I tried out and I didn't make it. They were like,
"Well, your voice wasn't ready yet. You had to try again in 9th grade."
It's tougher for boys. You gotta go through that voice change. I didn't even try. I knew there was no way. But Mike, Mike's a good singer actually though.
Wait, that was Mr. Maxwell, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Mr. Maxwell with the Velcro Atonic shoes. He was awesome.
Was it? Yeah. Man.
Was that the choir director?
Yeah.
What school are we talking about? Bullock?
Bullock.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's a music teacher there. And yeah, the choir.
Yeah.
But
I don't know him.
He's a cool guy. I think he would have liked it. Did you know Mr. Burns? The band, he was the band guy at Bullock, Mr. Burns.
Mr. Burns.
You knew Mr.
Burns? I don't remember him.
Yeah.
He was the band guy?
Yeah, band director.
Yeah. I can't play an instrument to save my life. I couldn't play that recorder they gave us in the 6th grade.
Mr. Burns was infamous, dude.
I know. Wait, were you in his classes?
I was. Well, okay. So, I mean, his reputation was such that like everyone knew, like if you were in band, you knew about Mr. Burns and were terrified of him.
Yeah.
But then I also, there was like in middle school, there was like an all city band where we got together and like all the three middle school bands performed. And then there was like a big band, not a big band, but like a big band made out of all the middle schools. And I think Mr. Burns conducted that. And I remember being really scared because I already knew about Mr. Burns.
That's funny.
Like he would like, I remember hearing a story about him where he would just like, he got annoyed because the PA system was doing class announcements or something in the middle of band rehearsal. Oh, yeah. And he got so mad that he got up on a chair and took the PA system off the wall and threw it on the floor and continued rehearsing the band.
Yeah, he would like,
that's great.
He would throw stuff around.
Yeah. Oh, they'd all be fired today. Yeah. Nobody would be able to handle that.
There, I can't imagine that kind of thing existing now.
I just remember I was in band and like Joe Freeman was on the drums and like Mr. Burns would get so pissed off. He'd be like, just tiddle it. I know, poor Joe. I was like tortured. Like I feel so bad. I think I quit because I was just too scared. It was too
upsetting to watch him scream at Joseph Freeman.
Yeah. He would like get up there, just do it like this. Just do it like this.
He was just mad because
three count.
He was just mad because he wasn't performing it properly.
Yeah, he wasn't like doing it right.
Man, that's no way to talk to a middle school kid.
Yeah.
Mike, were you in my class with Mr. Mumper in fifth grade?
Oh yeah.
Do you remember how he would scare the heck out of us? Like the first couple days of school, he'd like scream at us. Yeah. And we'd all be basically peeing our pants because Mr. Mumper just screamed at us about not picking our nose in his classroom. You know, he was crazy.
Yeah,
he drove his motorcycle down the hallway one time.
Yeah, I vaguely remember that. Yeah, that's yeah, I remember him I think it was this John Cutts. He like he did something and Mr. Mumper grabbed him by his ear, like picked him up by his ear, was like yelling in his ear or something. I mean, yeah, that guy was, I think
he was insane.
John Politico was in our class too, I think, wasn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah, but.
What was going on at Bullock?
Oh, that was at DeWitt.
Oh, that's DeWitt.
Yeah, our fifth grade teacher, Mr. Mumper, he was crazy. I liked him, but you didn't misstep, man. He'd surprise you. So.
I remember he read that book, The Witch in the Wardrobe,
Lion, the Witch in the Wardrobe.
The Lion, the Witch in the Wardrobe. And I remember he would read that, and I would really look forward to that, like him reading that to us. But,
did you have Mrs. Greathouse at Bullock?
Yeah.
Do you remember her reading to us?
Oh.
She read the Odyssey to us. But I would look, I still wish that I could get her to come to my house and read a book to me. She was so good.
Wait, Mrs. Greathouse. Wait.
There's this little tiny lady and she bounced around all over the place and she was always happy. And when she read, it was like you were really there in the book. Huh. It was crazy.
I remember another teacher, in the same grade, sixth grade. Her name escapes me right now, but she read The White Mountains. Did you remember that book?
One.
Oh man, that I loved when she read that. That great. Maybe that's the age when you first like start to be able to like really like imagine and like comprehend books and stuff. But that book, I love that book. I have that book here. I like read it almost every, like I read it regularly. I love that.
I'm gonna have to look that one up. I don't remember it.
Yeah.
Huh.
Mike, you told me to read that one, like as when we were adults. I remember.
Yeah,
and then I read it. Yeah, that is
good. You read that book?
Yeah, yeah, I totally read that. But it's like I was like 30. It was like, yeah, I remember you mentioning it. And I was like, all right, I'll read that.
I love that book.
Oh, that's funny.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it was great to have you on. Thanks so much for doing this, Amanda.
Yeah. Well, thanks, guys. It's great to see you guys and talk to you. And I am really enjoying listening to all of the interviews. I think it's great. I think it's a great project to do. And I tell everybody, I'm like, these guys that I graduated with came up with this, and it's really just fascinating. So kudos to you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I guess that's a wrap.
All right.
Thanks again. And
thank you.
See you later.
Okay. Take care.
Bye. See you, Amanda.
Bye.
Mike and Steve is a production of Mike and Steve LLC and was produced by Mike Carson and Steve Henry with generous assistance from Tracy Marzich. You can find Mike and Steve at mikeandsteve.com and also on iTunes and Stitcher. Don't forget to like and subscribe so you never miss an episode. You can also leave comments, questions, or messages to include in future episodes at our voicemail box at 330-731-1335. Once again, that number is 330-731-1335. Thanks for listening and have a great week.